Believe it or not, we're almost to the end of the Gospel of Mark. We've been in Mark a long time, and I hope it's been helpful to you. It's been really good for me. Through all these years, I have preached through the entire Gospels from beginning to end in chronological order, but not Mark all by itself. And so this has been enlightening to me. Today is the last Sunday that we look at the people that were involved in getting Christ to the cross. We've looked at some very negative things, some very negative human attributes, you might say, the things that people have done and people do, and we're going to continue that today, finish that today. Next Sunday, we're going to look at the sacrifice that Christ has made on that cross. Following that, we'll talk about love for Jesus. We'll look at an example of a man who showed his love for Jesus. And then, of course, the Sunday after that is Easter. We'll look at the resurrection. The end of the month, end of April, we'll be looking at the stand we must make because of the stand Christ made. And then the first Sunday in March, we'll look at the end of the Gospel of Mark and look at the commission that Christ has given. So I'll give you a little heads up of what's coming up. But today we're looking at Jesus being mocked by his own people. Up to now, we've looked at the religious leaders, how they were opposed to Jesus, wanted to kill him, because he just wasn't one of them. You know, he wouldn't get in line. They never found anything wrong with him because he always adhered to the word. But he didn't accept their traditions. And they didn't like that and so wanted to kill him. And in so doing, being so set in their minds against Jesus, they were breaking the Ten Commandments right and left. And ultimately, the day that they arrested Jesus, tried him, and they convicted him on the claim that he is the Christ, the Chosen One, the Messiah. They took him to Pilate, who, under pressure from the crowds, as they stirred up the crowds, condemned Jesus. And we looked last week at how the soldiers, they just did their job. It's what they did, and they didn't think too much about it. I suspect that they were maybe the first and foremost the ones that Jesus prayed for, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Because they didn't understand what was happening. They just did their job. But the religious leaders had the last word. This is in Mark 15, beginning in verse 29. "Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, 'So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourselves.'" I'll stop right there for a moment. Mark just focuses upon the people who are there at the crucifixion. Now, I don't know how many average person, you know, could actually be there as the Romans were crucifying Jesus. But the soldiers were busy doing their thing. The religious leaders certainly were passing by, but they also got off to themselves to talk, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But they were walking back and forth in front of Jesus, hanging on the cross. He's been nailed to this cross. Two thieves crucified on either side of him. And they're poking fun at him. Now, these are the people, supposedly the people of God. The people who should have a love for their fellow man. People who should have a compassion for those that the Romans were crucifying. But instead, all they did was mock Jesus. He had made the statement to his disciples that when they left the temple earlier in the week, that he would destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days, referring to himself. But it was overheard by others and they misinterpreted. But notice what they say: "Come down from the cross and save yourself." Isn't that interesting that people could look at Jesus after all this time, 3+ years of doing miracles, a few times of even people trying to arrest him or kill him, and he just miraculously walked through them, stopping storms, raising the dead. But you see, it doesn't matter how many miracles Jesus did. It still comes down to whether people wanted to believe him or not, whether they wanted to follow him or not. It always comes down to that. God has shown us time and time again, doing miracles doesn't accomplish a whole lot because people will still deny. It's interesting when you look at the example, the illustration in the Old Testament. You know, look at the book of Judges. How many times did God raise up a judge to help Israel because he had been punishing them for their sin? The judge would help them get free from their persecutors, the neighboring nations. And then once that judge died, what would happen? Well, they go right back to sin. We see it through the kings. There would be a good king, and the next one might be a bad one. You know, people will follow their example. And so those who were crucifying Jesus and making fun of him, walking back and forth, they were just doing what people do. Poking fun of someone who's in despair. Jesus is hanging there. They're mocking him. And isn't that what people do? I was reminded this past week in something I was reading that said, you know, childhood is a good time, but children can be cruel. Teenage is a good time to learn and to grow, but teenagers can be cruel. Well, maybe a little less so as we become adults. We become more specialized in being cruel when we become adults. But still, people will poke fun at those who are not as well off as we are. People will put down those who may be in despair. It's a fact of life. Countries around the world, there are powers that put the people down because they have no compassion for their own people. And they will torture and they will kill. They will cheat and they will steal from those who have less, so that those who have more can have more. It's always been so. And so as Jesus is there on the cross, he's looking at these people and feeling sad for them because they don't see the trap they're in. He's there dying for them, but they're just going on in their sin, having an opportunity to look down on somebody else before they go on with their daily lives. Many Christians don't believe Jesus. In this day and age, many people are happy to be religious, but don't really believe Jesus. You know, Jesus is there as my Savior, but there's not a personal relationship. There's not the knowledge of what God's given us because Jesus is just kind of an idol. And so they don't really know this Jesus. And when things happen in this world and the influence of this world comes along, it's easy to follow our basic nature, our sinful nature. It's easy to follow the crowd instead of holding to what Jesus says. And consequently, many Christian parents don't even teach their children the teachings of Jesus. Well, we may teach some Bible stories, but do we teach the lessons that Jesus teaches? Do we study the Word of God ourselves and pass it on to our children? You know, they're not going to get it in the public school, and they're not going to get it in college. They're not going to get it at work unless they're with other Christians. But it's every parent's responsibility to make sure that their children are learning the Word of God. That was commanded in the Old Testament for the Israelites to teach. Dad and mom were both to teach, and it's true even for us. How can our children stand firm? How can our children have the hope that we have if they don't even know what it's all about? We are the ones who must teach them. But Mark goes on in verse 31. He says, "In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. The religious leaders didn't believe. They didn't believe in Jesus. They saw all the miracles. They heard his teaching. They were always there looking for him to stumble, to say something wrong, do something wrong. They saw everything and still refused to believe. They just would not believe Jesus' teaching. Oh, what he taught was fine. He just didn't teach enough because he didn't agree with their traditions. And that still holds true throughout church history. Many teach their own ideas and traditions, not caring what God's word really says. Because, well, we have our way. And it's not always, well, is it Jesus' way? And that's the challenge for all of us, to know Jesus, to know his word, so that we know that we're following him. These men were not following God, were they? They were actually following Satan. Even in their own minds, they were still convinced they were religiously right and they were right with God. But they were not, because they didn't even understand their own scriptures. And they would not recognize all the testimony from God about who Jesus was. Many still do that. Jesus is just a figurehead. And for many, following Jesus is just a little cozy, little heartfelt thing, and little more. Or for others, it's just being true to tradition, but not really knowing Jesus. These religious leaders, as they are there making fun of Jesus at the foot of the cross, you know, they don't believe in his authority. He who could stop the wind, he could stop the waves. He who raised Lazarus from the dead just about 4 months earlier. And yet they believed he didn't have authority. He was a usurper of authority to their minds. He was an interloper. Yeah. He didn't count because he didn't match their view. And so they felt they had the authority to overrule anything Jesus said. And many still do that to this very day. We may be guilty of that too. You know, well, here's what Jesus says. Here's what God's word says. But. And I don't know how many times over the years I've heard people say, well, that was then. This is now. But they forget that our God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God has never changed his mind. The Old Testament, all that God laid down was in preparation for the new. It wasn't that God changed his mind. It's that God was continuing his plan. It was always about the coming of the Messiah. And since then, it's been about the coming of Jesus again because of his sacrifice on that cross. And yet, for many, it's, well, we can believe what we want to believe and do what we want to do, and God will accept that. But the problem is, come Judgment Day, not one of you here are going to be judged by Steve Dunham's standards. In fact, if any of you, you know, the Lord says, well, why did you do this? Or why did you believe that? And you say, well, Steve said. God's going to look at me and say, Steve who? It's not going to go over well. Scripture tells us not many should be teachers because teachers will be judged more strictly. Why? Because the word of God is precious. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's to be trusted and believed and followed. But if we don't take time to get to know it, how can the Holy Spirit lead us? How can the Holy Spirit fill us with truth and confidence if we're not even listening? And so for many, God's word is irrelevant, the Holy Spirit is irrelevant, or the Holy Spirit is flexible and goes with our whims. All denying the authority of God. And look at the result at that, in the end of verse 32. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. You know, pagans join in with the insults. I saw, I didn't read the article, just wrote real quick in passing, saw it this morning when I checked email. There was some a service somewhere, I don't know where it was, it might have been D.C., And it was a pagan service, and they were having a black communion, meaning opposed to Christ. It was a pagan mockery of communion. And with Easter coming up, there's going to be a lot more of that. And this cult was, you know, on these steps, and they were starting to offer a mock communion service. And a Catholic priest charged down those steps, challenged them, pushed the person who was officiating off to the side, and took away the emblems that the people were using to make mockery of Jesus. That man was brave. He was brave. Now, some others got involved too, and I didn't take time to find out the rest of it. I didn't read the article. But there are plenty of people out there who do not believe in Jesus, who join in the insults when God's people don't get it right. These two criminals on either side of Jesus, now one of them later repented as the day went on, but both of them were poking fun at Jesus. And that's what the wicked do when they see God's people not following Jesus. The wicked say, well, then why should I? When the righteous supposedly are following Jesus, but yet teaching and promoting sin, then why should they change? And so these two guys on either side of Jesus are giving him a hard time too. It's what people do. They follow the crowd. If other people are mocking, so will they. Maybe you found yourself, maybe as a kid in school where friends were making fun of another student, and maybe you felt the pressure to join in and make fun too. To look down on someone because everybody else did. And that continues into adulthood. We probably all experience that. It's a pressure to go along with the crowd instead of standing up for what's right. Non-believers doubt Jesus because of the mixed message of Christianity. I've had issues with groups that I've been a part of, even here over these last few years. And people say, well, why do these things bother you? I say, well, I know what Scripture says. So, well, that shouldn't bother you. You know, it is what it is, and God loves everybody. And everyone who's told me that goes to church somewhere. How can we talk about the love and grace of God and the truth of God if we're like the world? What do we have to offer? Consequently, others sitting around the table with us in these conversations, which were many over these last few years, also look at me like I had two heads. What's wrong with Steve? Well, Steve goes to the wrong kind of church. I only once made the retort, no, I go to the right kind of church. But maybe you found the same thing. Now, how can people believe if we're not different from the world? And I think that's why Mark, the Holy Spirit, has Mark write this before he gets into Jesus, actually what happens to him personally on the cross. He's just talking about the danger for us of faith. To take it so for granted and be so ingrained in our personal views that we can miss the truth of God's Word, and we can miss the love that comes from that truth. If these people, these religious leaders, chief priests and teachers of the law, really loved God and loved His Word, they would have recognized that they can't do this kind of thing. You know, if they really knew the Ten Commandments and really cared about those Ten Commandments and really practiced them, they never would have chastised Jesus or opposed Him and certainly not crucified Him. And sometimes in our own lives, when we're not really into the Word of God, we can let Jesus down by believing and practicing things we're not supposed to, sharing with others and encouraging others in their sin. But we can also be guilty of looking down on other people. Well, if they're not like us, maybe they have a disability, maybe they're a different race, maybe they don't speak English too well or not at all, and we can kind of look down on them. You know, church history is full of that. You know, whites looking down upon blacks, Christians looking down upon Jews. You know, the list can go on and on, and things are unique from country to country, where groups of people look down upon another group of people, and oftentimes in the name of Christ. When we stop and think about how many atrocities have been done, even in our own country, in our own history, and yet people will say they do it in the name of Christ. That's mocking Jesus. Why? Because they don't pay attention to the word and they don't love it. They love themselves more. And so before we get into the crucifixion, actually looking at what Jesus says next week, let us this week look at ourselves and ask ourselves, how do I live? Am I really following Jesus? Or is he just kind of there to me, but I'm busy doing my thing and kind of going with the world? Do I really believe what he tells me? Because that's what it comes down to. If I don't believe what he's teaching me, then I don't believe him. I might believe he exists, but I don't believe him. And it's especially bad if I don't even know what he's saying. These men heard everything Jesus said and chose to disbelieve. May we truly be believers. Believe Jesus. Otherwise, the sacrifice that we're about to celebrate this next month has been useless for us. Because if we're still hanging on to our sin and still ignoring Jesus in our living, in what we know and what we believe, then what has his sacrifice done for us? And what good are we doing for him? So let us examine ourselves this week. Let's be ready for the Easter season. So it's not just a cute time, a nice time, family get together, you know, have a good time with the kids, Easter egg hunts. All of that's great. But let us not forget the meaning and what it cost God. That's why I've gone through so much of that this month, of what Mark recorded, to remember what Jesus went through and how our sinful nature gets in the way. God used that for Jesus to die for us. But he doesn't want to keep using our sinful nature. He wants to free us from it, to help us get over it, to conquer it. It'll never be fully done in this life. But it doesn't mean we're not supposed to work at it with the help of the Holy Spirit and the very Word of God. Right now, we're going to sing a song called I Come to the Cross, Seeking Mercy and Grace. You know, we can come before Jesus with great confidence in him. But there's that confidence in his grace and his love and his mercy, confident but not boastfully. We don't come saying, oh God, here I am, aren't you glad? But rather we come, Lord, I know you will forgive me. I know you love me. But you know what? I am not so good. I've not always done well this week. I've not always remembered to talk with you. I haven't always been in your word. And sometimes I've taken the wrong side when I'm with other people. And Lord, please forgive me. Because I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. And I need your help to get beyond all this and to keep moving forward with you. You died in my place. How can I go on living in that place that you died to free me from? Help me, Lord. I come to the cross for help. Let's stand together, shall we?